Welcome back to the show. My guest tonight is Elliot Wink. Elliot is the author of Verit the Vicious, After Io, and many more. I hope you enjoy the discussion. Show, we're talking about like a single project with a guest, especially with authors. Tonight, we're going to discuss multiple projects. You have After Io that released in January of this year, which is just a couple months ago. And now we have Verit the Vicious in February, just a few weeks ago. So you've been busy. Tell me about this whirlwind of all these releases. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I had a few prepared ahead of time, or at least partially prepared. So I finished After Io actually in December, and I had one of the stories in Verit the Vicious already written ahead of time too. I wrote the first one, the title one, Verit the Vicious, probably about a year ago. And then I added the other two stories in that anthology in January. So they're relatively shorter works, so it is easier to produce more titles more quickly. And my goal this year was to release a title a month.
Wow.
But I don't think I'm going to meet that goal already in March because I am still working on the second book in the Farlight series, and I'm not going to have that done by March. So I'm hoping to maybe get that out in April, May, if it really needs a lot of tweaking once I'm finished writing it. But hoping to get about six out at least this year.
Wow. That's amazing. I heard of After Io a little while back. You know, it's pretty fresh still. Ordered it, read it, told my son about it, who's 12, and let him read the first few pages. He's not a reader, but, and this is not an ego stroke in any way, I swear, it's just the truth. He comes in like after like about maybe 20 minutes with the book, and he wants his own copy of the book. So I order the copy. He reads it like that night, or maybe the next night. I go to your website and I check out your bio, and you have probably the coolest professional background and platform that for writing anyway that I've ever seen. So I want to read a piece of your about me, if that's okay with you, because I think it's cool. I think it's important, and I think people will get a kick out of it. So I'm going to quote your about me. Quote, I'm a science fiction and fantasy writer with a day job. I've been teaching English for nearly a decade. So I spend my days analyzing writing with my students and my nights putting my own pen to paper. I have a master's in psychology and I find people fascinating. So I usually spend a lot of time in my characters' heads, whether that character is drifting through outer space, navigating through a dystopia in future or in another universe entirely. They are unlikely to escape the nature of the human condition when it comes to my stories. We are human, even when we are forging through the unknown. I love, love, love that. And as soon as I read that, I was like, I've got to reach out to you and see if you'd want to do the show. So let me ask you to tell me a little bit. Let's expand on your education and your professional background for people who are listening to this, please.
Yeah, of course. So I have always wanted to be a writer. In high school, when they tell you to start picking your career, I wanted to be a writer. Yeah. And I actually went and got my bachelor's degree from the University of Delaware, and I graduated in 2012 with that. And I originally wanted to go for creative writing. And I went to orientation with my mom, and we went to orientation and the English department is telling us all about it. And we asked something about the creative writing concentration, and they're like, oh no, we're getting rid of that. We had all of these professors quit and it's not going to exist anymore. And so I had this like crisis of, okay, what am I going to do? Cause I'm going to go to that school. So I went in undecided, but I knew I still wanted English and in some regard, because I just love writing and literature, et cetera. And I still cannot even tell you how I ended up with the major of English education, but it worked out and I did. And I had never considered teaching before I decided I needed to find a career and find a path in college, and ultimately ended up being a really, really good fit for me, because I think a lot of the skills that teaching requires are not skills that I had in terms of things like communication and, you know, managing people's emotions and all of those like soft skills, I think I just really wasn't strong in. And so education has been great for me that way. And it's also given me an opportunity to, you know, explore literature through a lens that I think a lot of people don't often look at, because even people who read very widely, I think, may not have to think about, okay, so why is this work interesting? Or like, what are the different ways that we could be analyzing this to present them for students? And so I've had a really unique lens with education there. I will say I've always been a little bit bitter because my senior year, I found out that they didn't actually dissolve the creative writing concentration, that woman was just having a terrible day and instead just kind of said something that changed my trajectory. But at the same time, I think it's been a really useful career path for me. I've just gained a lot of skills that I wouldn't have otherwise. And I actually really do love teaching. It's pretty cool to go and get to talk to kids about good books all day. So that's a big part of it. And then I decided to go back for my master's about 5 years ago. And in California, it's kind of nice because it doesn't really matter what you get your master's in. It's just credits in terms of our pay scale. So I started to think about what I was really most interested in. I could go back and do more English, but I decided to spend a little time thinking about psychology because I think that I've just always been fascinated by people. And, you know, I had already been looking into like personality psychology on my own time and things like that. And I ended up deciding to go back for psychology, and I ended up in just a really cool program that I really enjoyed, and got my master's with the idea that I could use it to not only help me with my students and my day job, but also to help me in developing my character. So I took just a lot of really cool classes about like self and identity and like relationships and what defines a person, those kinds of classes that I think have helped me to become a better writer too.
Yeah. You can tell when you read through it, there's like an interesting dichotomy there between like, you know, like the psychological study that you have, and then just, you know, writing, the talent for writing, kind of creating story, which I think come from two different areas of the brain and just kind of the way we process stuff and the way we create. So I think that's interesting. And I always ask like every author that ever sits on the show and guests on the show about their genre. Like, you know, why did you pick the genre? So why sci-fi / fantasy for you? I mean, what is it about that genre that continues to draw you in?
So I just think since I was young, sci-fi and fantasy has always just held a very special place in my heart. I just think it's so interesting to look at people when you're pushing the boundaries of their reality, because people are already interesting in our reality, but I just think you put them in a different situation and you can even more potently show the flaws and also the positives, I guess, of humanity, because you can just amplify them in these alternate situations and in these alternate environments. And I still always love the what if kind of part of science fiction and fantasy, just like the possibilities of what might our world look like, or what would relationships look like, you know, and just if we tweak something just slightly. So I've always loved that about science fiction and fantasy. I will say, I don't know that it is the only genre I'll ever write in. I have written, you know, historical fiction stories and just more literary stories before too. But I think I decided when I wanted to go into a foray in publishing, I just love writing science fiction and fantasy. I think it's a lot of fun. And I still think that there's so much meaning and depth to it. So I just thought that I'd explore that side of my career first.
Yeah. And it's boundless, right? I mean, is that a fair statement to make? Like when you're in that genre, you can pretty much, I mean, you can go anywhere, you can do anything. You can expand as greatly as you want, or go as tight as you want, I guess, for character development.
Yep. You're exactly right. It is boundless. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to describe it. And I like writing both science fiction and fantasy, because sometimes I can be like, well, do I want there to be a very consistent logic for why this happens? Or do I want somebody to just be able to turn someone into a toad? and it still ultimately has, you know, good, important themes that are related still to our lives. But at the same time, pushing those boundaries, I think you can make even sometimes more potent statements when you're pushing the boundaries of reality.
That's a good point. And we, you know, I talked to you about the, you know, the frequency in your projects and kind of how busy you've been at the top of the show. How long do you take between projects? Do you, is it important to sort of like give yourself a creative break? Is it hard to pull away? Are you constantly working or constantly writing?
Well, I don't think that I necessarily need a break in between projects, but I definitely will find myself just kind of taking breaks naturally. Sometimes not even when I wanted to take a break, but like last week I got sick and then I didn't write at all for a whole week because wasn't feeling well. And I was like, okay, maybe my body needs time to recover and my mind can go along with that. And so I think breaks do occur, but I never plan for them. I don't have a strict schedule where I'm like, okay, I'm going to finish this. I'm going to take a week off. I'm going to edit or anything like that. It's a much more fluid structure. I do like to work on one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm going to finish it and the next day I'm going to start editing it. And then, you know, right when I'm done with that, I'll start the next one. So just depends.
What sparks creativity for you? And this is a question I always like to ask any author on the show.
You know, I think I have a terrible answer for this because I'm not really sure. but for me, what sparks creativity is honestly the blank page. I am not one of those authors who's brimming with ideas. Uh-huh. I don't feel like I have like flights of fancy or fits of inspiration. I don't have notebooks filled with ideas of what I'm going to write next. Mm-hmm. I instead know I love writing.
Right.
And sometimes I just, if I don't have a story idea, I just have to sit and stare at a blank page until a sentence comes out of my mouth.
Interesting.
Onto the page. Yeah. And that's actually how After IO started, is I was literally just sitting at this desk. It's like, I want to write something.
Yeah.
And I waited until the first line was very similar to the one that's on there. It was, Brynn issued a mayday call 6 hours after she killed her captain. And then when I started writing it, I realized I needed to change my timeline. But I found, out of pretty much just necessity, a character, a setting, a conflict, and then the story grew from there. So for me, really, the blank page is where I find my creativity.
And what a great opening line, too. I think that's interesting. I love that approach, because I have written, like when I write stuff or when I'll jot something down, it sometimes it can come from like a sentence, like the opening line you just mentioned, and sort of tweaking that. Sometimes it'll literally come from like a word or two, and I can like something I want a character to say, or something I want to be written in the dialogue, and I can sort of like expand out from there. And sometimes it's frustrating, but sometimes it's relatively easy, depending on, I guess, the creative juices and how they're flowing that particular evening or whatever the case is. So it's interesting. I like that aspect, and I like your approach. I think that's pretty interesting. So they're all, as I've said tonight, they're all relatively new releases. So we won't get into, we're trying to avoid spoiler filled discussion here with character and stuff, but I do want to ask you about the process. You just touched on the beginning of it right now. When you're developing the story, because you talked about like, you know, developing from like the first sentence, how does that work? Is it all character driven? Does it start with a single scene? Do you take that opening line that you know, after you're looking at the page, and do you just kind of like go from there? I mean, it's a lot to go from one line to an entire, you know, story. So how does that work for you? Can you take us through that process?
Once again, not particularly structured. Once I have that first line, I kind of just write until I have that first scene. And I think that I'll often ruminate on my story. Mm-hmm. Once I have something like an idea, something in progress, I'll often ruminate on it in times of like just absentmindedness, like when I'm driving to work and I'm listening to music, or like I'm taking a shower, or I'm cooking, or like something where I'm not really doing a lot of active thinking. My brain will default to it, and I'll start to like think about what I can do next. And, or maybe every once in a while, little scenes that I think I would enjoy, but I rarely write those down because I do really like the story to come out linearly for myself. Mm-hmm, that's not to say, obviously, I don't write in linear timelines always. Right. Sometimes I'm jumping around, but I like to write the story in order. I don't jump around in chapters. And so even if I'll have an idea for something in the future, I might even let myself forget it. And then if it's right when the time comes back up, then I think I'll usually remember it. But yeah, I don't do a ton of plotting or structuring or writing those things down, because I do like to see how it comes out. And I know a lot of other authors say that they do like the characters to kind of dictate their story. And I think I feel that way quite a bit as well. So I don't like to box myself in that way. Yeah, it's very organic process for me.
Yeah, I like that. And I guess to piggyback off of that question, how much revision goes into what you write? Because I know like I've written stuff that I've like, it's just, you know, I'll put something out and I feel like for me, I'll get it out there. I don't really necessarily care how attractive it looks or anything. I just want to get words onto a page. And I feel like 70% of the time, probably like I end up throwing out most of what I write, but I'll take like little nuggets and little things here that I might like. Is there a lot of revisioning going into like what the final product is?
I do some revising as I write. If I write a paragraph and I'm like, I just feel that it was wrong, or I'm like, no, actually, I don't want to take this story in that direction. I will like cut it out and I'll paste into another document just as a graveyard of the things that didn't make it into the final one. So usually that comes out to probably be about 10% of like the final word count is stuff that I've actually already recycled away and taken out by the time I have a final first draft. And then I'd say about 95% of stuff after that makes it to the final draft as I edit it through at the end. And I'm often somebody who has to actually add instead of subtract in the revision phrase. I'm just
naturally
a more concise writer.
Right.
So sometimes I'll have to add scenes or extra sentences and descriptions.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm loving the approach that you take to it. Cause it's like you said, it's organic early on in the conversation. So, I mean, I like that. Is it hard to, I guess once you have an idea for the story or kind of where you want it to end or where you want it to go, is it hard to color in the details sometimes, or can it be sort of freeing in a way to color in all the details? Like, hey, it's just getting past that barrier of like that first big idea. And then it just kind of just comes out. Like my dad used to say, like verbal diarrhea just like comes out and you just can't stop. You just can't stop writing and everything. So I mean, is it difficult to kind of color in details sometimes, or can that be part of the fun?
I think it can be part of the fun. And I think that part of the process of just writing the way that I do, the details often are filling in as I go.
Yeah.
And I have full chapters that, you know, end up making it without really any touch up into the final draft and everything. So I think that maybe I could be adding more detail. That's always something that I wonder too, should I be adding more things? So that's something that, you know, I think I might be asking myself, especially as I go forward. And as I've gotten some feedback, you know, these are the first things that I've published to people who really aren't people I know. And I do feel like some of the feedback I've gotten is that people want more, and sometimes that's more to the story, and sometimes that's more explanation about the world. And so that might be something that I try and incorporate a little bit more as I go. But I do think right now that I like the details that I do add, but
they
might not all be there for everybody else.
absolutely. And I think that's probably why people write volumes, or, you know, that, like you mentioned earlier, that this is for people that are listening to this. This is just the first of a volume, right? Of more that will be coming for After IO, I should say.
Yes.
I feel like that's, you know, you can kind of test the waters, I guess. Do people like these characters? Are they attracted to these characters? Do they love the story? And then if there, you can expand on that if people are really, the demand is there for more, and you have the creative itch, I guess, to keep going with those particular characters. And you talked about, like, earlier on, the length of your story a little bit, of your stories, I should say. A Still Life was another one that you raised. So that was in 21, right? That was at the end of 21 that came out?
Yeah, it was in December.
Yeah. So I know that it's short. I've ordered it. I want to read it. What's the difference from a creation standpoint? Like, when you're writing something that's, you know, is going to be, I guess, do you know it's going to be 30 pages? Is that the intent going in, or roughly that amount, versus something that's going to be, okay, this is going to be 150 to 200 pages, maybe? I guess it's a marathon. It's not a sprint type of deal for the longer books. But is there a difference between writing for short story and then for longer stories like that?
So I think there is. And I've done both, where I've planned for them to be a certain length and where they ended up being a different length than I expected. A Still Life is the latter, actually. A Still Life, I had originally imagined that as a full novel, and it's very short. That one is just a short novella, or novelette, actually. It doesn't.
Yeah, novelette. Yeah, yeah.
And so that one is quite short. And I had gotten to a point with that character's arc where I wanted her to get to a certain point by a certain word count. And then I was like, and after that, this will happen. And then I got to that point and I was like, that's the story. That was, that was her whole arc. I don't need to keep going with that. I was actually really happy with how that story turned out. So that was one where I had planned for it to be longer. And then I got to the point where I knew that that was the full story. So I stopped. Mm. However, after IO, I had planned for it to be that length. My goal was 40,000 words. I wanted it to just dip over into novel territory, but not be, you know, a particularly long novel, because I wanted to serialize it. So I had that word count in mind while I was writing it. And I do think that that helps to some degree in order to deal with the pacing, right?
Yeah,
because
right.
Then I can be like, oh, as I'm going, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I know that this is going to happen. So I feel like I can spend this many words on it, or something like that. So I just, I think a lot of it is a subconscious process, but I can kind of meter the level of detail or even the action that occurs with that word count in mind.
Got it. Okay. So, and then I guess one thing I always like to ask every author who comes on the show, because I've struggled with this for like I've got my first book coming out in July. It's like a history piece, but like,
congrats.
Yeah, thank you. I remember I couldn't, like, I was physically like, I almost got physically sick at the thought of like turning it over and letting it go to somebody else and edit it. And then to their final edit, and I feel like I'm missing something, or I'm never like quite satisfied with it. Do you have that same, I mean, you're writing a totally different genre, obviously, but I mean, do you ever have that same feeling, or are you totally at peace when you sort of like push it off and say, okay, this is away from me professionally now. This is out of my hands. and you know, it is what it is. Like, is that hard for you sometimes, or is it easy?
So to an editor, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just when it leaves your hands and goes into the editing. Yeah, to your editors and to the publishing and everything. Is it tough sometimes to let go?
So I have a secret for you, which I don't know if I should tell anybody, but I don't use an editor for my work. I use beta readers who try and catch things for me, like inconsistencies, and they tell me what's working, what's not.
Yeah.
And then I do feel that my background in English education has really given me incredibly strong, like, line editing skills. And I have not released my work to an editor. And I'm sure a developmental editor could help me to some degree, but I'm just not at that point in my career where I'm willing to actually spend money to publish my work.
Sure.
And I do think it's still been very well received. So yeah, anyone wants to get really, really good at English grammar, become an English teacher, because you have to correct the kids on every single thing. So I have skipped that part of the publishing process. And for better or for worse, I obviously have more creative autonomy of it. And
That's true.
Can keep that. But at the same time, if people are unhappy or if I've missed a mistake, it's totally my fault. So
that's incredibly insightful though. And I that's why I do these interviews, because I'll research on somebody, you know, try to study for like a piece we're going to do. And it just never occurred to me that, you probably don't, you probably don't need that really. I mean, it's because it's your field. That's where you live in that field. And so like, that's interesting. And I love the beta readers idea because it's the same thing as like test screenings for a theatrical film. Like, they put it out there and they see like, hey, what's working in this movie? What's not working in this movie? What do we need to cut? So on and so forth, or add, you know, even.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I like that.
I also have to say, it's nice that you thought I had an editor. I feel like that's even just a success.
Well, right? There you go, right?
Sneaking by,
I'm just assuming because another good point. That's very true. What's next for you? What are you working? I mean, you talked about at the top of the show, like you had this goal. What's next for what year? 2022? Yeah. What's next for the rest of this year?
Well, so I am going to finish up the second book in the Farlight series. After that, I'd like to write another book in the Antera series, a follow-up to the Vicious, because I really love the world that I've created there. And I absolutely love writing short stories. And I like writing interconnected short stories. So I'm going to continue to build on those that series as well. So I think what I'm going to do, at least for a couple of books, I'm thinking that the Farlight series is probably going to be about 5 books right now.
Nice.
But again, I haven't fully planned it out, so we'll have to see. And so I thought that I'd probably alternate writing the one book in the Farlight series and another in the Antera series for probably the rest of the year, and then kind of see where that lands me.
Awesome.
And if I do end up on another idea or something like that, I'll obviously work that in as well. So
fantastic. Well, okay, before we get out of here tonight, I won't take up too much more of your time. We do something a little fun on the show with everybody that ever sits on the show. 15 rapid fire questions. First question is, what is the best sandwich?
I found out I had celiac disease last summer, so I don't eat a lot of sandwiches anymore. So probably, like, I don't know, a lettuce wrapped bird, like, sandwich.
My wife would agree. My wife would agree with that. Okay. All right. What is the one thing you own that you really should throw out?
Oh, I have a lot of cardigan sweaters because I'm a teacher. So I should throw out about 10 of those.
All right. Good, solid answers so far. What is the scariest animal?
That's hard.
I think it's the
box jellyfish, because it's this little jellyfish in Australia that its sting is so potent that it paralyzes you for an hour. And so unless somebody's gonna like breathe for you for an hour, you're gonna die.
God, my brother had a terrible, my brother used to surf, my oldest brother. And he had instances where he came out of the water and he had like jellyfishes wrapped around his like legs and stuff, you know, like, and it was, he says it's the most intense pain you can ever be in. It's pretty insane. All right. Well, you're a teacher. Maybe you get these. I don't know if this is an old school thing. Apples or oranges? Anybody ever bring you an apple, teacher?
So I have gotten an apple before, and believe it or not, I'm not joking, our art teacher just did the yearbook survey, and I was voted most likely the teacher that was most likely to have a desk full of apples.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Apples. I don't
know what that means, but.
Right. Yeah. Apples it is. Okay. Well, have you ever asked someone for their autograph, and who was it?
Yes, I asked. Okay. I actually have it somewhere here. Where is it? Oh, I can't find it. But I asked a League of Legends player called Skara. He was like one of the first like pro players for his autograph, and he autographed a little Caitlyn mushroom. So I play video games too.
Nice.
And that is who I've asked for an autograph.
Nice. Yeah, that is cool. Deep cuts. I like that. Okay. So, you know, we go from really interesting, fun questions to sometimes deep ones. What do you think happens when we die?
I don't know. Honestly, I have no clue. I hope it's nice. That's all I can say.
That might be the best answer. Yeah, that might be the best answer we've had. Okay. What's your favorite action movie?
I don't know if this counts as an action movie. It's a superhero movie, but I really, really like all of the movies in the Batman Begins trilogy, especially The Dark Knight Rises. So
Okay. Favorite smell?
I don't like strong smells, but probably like garlic, like cooking garlic, roasted garlic.
Garlic's a good one. Garlic's a good one. You're killing all these. These are great. All right. What's the opposite? The least favorite smell?
Just like trash.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I like that. You're picking some good ones. Okay. Flat or sparkling when it comes to water? I hope there is a right answer. Okay. There is a right answer to that.
Is that right? I'm not sure, but it's definitely flat for me.
Yep. Absolutely. My father-in-law drinks Perrier and he drinks it. I can't understand how you can drink it. It's not refreshing whatsoever. So I don't understand that.
I agree.
Okay. What is the most used app on your phone?
Oh, well, right now it's Twitter because I have to have an author presence on Twitter. But it used to be Reddit. So
yeah, both, Reddit's good.
Both time sinks.
Two good picks. Twitter and I will do a quick sidebar. Is Twitter? I see a lot of writers on Twitter self-promoting, doing a lot of pushing for their own stuff and everything. Do you think that's helpful? I know it's a sidebar, but is that helpful? Do you think?
I mean,
has it helped you?
It has helped me. Yeah. Just because I think that's where most of my readers have come from at this point. I have no idea what I'm doing marketing wise. So that's been one of my main platforms. I can't figure out how to get people to join my newsletter or how to make a good TikTok or any of those things. So I'm still like, that's a very new part for me is marketing. So Twitter's been really helpful in that like people are very nice and people are willing to like boost your self-esteem and like, you know, and give you a shot and connect with other writers. So I've actually really liked it that way, but I do not think I am going to become rich and famous from Twitter. So
I would agree with most of what you just said. I think I feel the same way. I it's hard. I don't know what I'm doing marketing wise either. I put it out there and do what you can do. So it can be tough. All right. Only a couple more and then we're going to wrap it up. You only get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is that song? I know it's a tough one.
Right now it would be Heat Waves by Glass Animals.
That's a good, we've had some deep cuts, some deep picks on this show so far this season. So that's awesome. I like it. I'll tell you, this is going to be probably the toughest one for writers. I think just any writer. I can't answer it, but it's hard. Tell me something that you used to value about writing and storytelling that you no longer value today.
So I used to value, I can say two things.
Oh, great.
That I think I used to think were really important because they had been presented as like cardinal values, which were kill all adverbs and show, don't tell. Mm. And the thing is, I think there's a place for telling and I think there's a place for adverbs. And so I don't really value those anymore. I get that they shouldn't be overused, but I don't think that we should be avoiding them. So that's it.
Good picks. Good picks. Okay. The last question of the night, describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
Okay. Well, writing. Yeah. I'll put that at the top of the list. Family is also going to be at the top of the list. Purpose and love. I think that's part of family, but still independent and kindness. Yeah. Those are the things that I hope will describe my life.
Well, I can't get much better set than that for words as far as that's concerned. Okay. Before we get out of here, let's plug everything. Where can people follow you online? Where can people pick up the books? We'll have everything in the show notes, of course, but please plug all your stuff.
Oh, thanks. Well, if you head over to my website, it's www.elliotwink.com. You can see all of my books that are there and you can sign up for my newsletter. So I'll let you know if things are releasing directly. You can also find my link to my Twitter account on there and also my TikTok handle if anyone's interested in that.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just follow me on my Amazon page too. So that's where I release everything. Everything's on Kindle Unlimited. at this point.
After Io is out now, Vera the Vicious is out now. And like 100 other books will probably be out this year, I'm sure, at the rate you've been going. This has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for accepting my invitation and coming on the show. And, you know, I look forward to seeing what you put out in the future. And thanks again for this.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. This was a ton of fun.
Another conversation behind us. Thanks for hanging out with me and my friends. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please visit us on social media as we post each new conversation as they air. News, show information, and more. Go to facebook.com/meandmyfriendspod. On Twitter, you can search the handle meandmyfriendspod. And on Instagram, search the handle meandmyfriendspod. If you enjoyed the conversation tonight, please do me a favor and head to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher and rate us and leave us a review. It really does help get the word out. Me and My Friends is produced by Vanessa Williamson and edited by me, Chris Williamson. The show's music is created and performed by producer Redman. The opinions on Me and My Friends are those of the individual guests and may not reflect those of Chris Evan Films Incorporated. Chris Evan Films Incorporated is not affiliated with the films or clips referred to herein. Any audio clips used in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purposes of education and entertainment, and no infringement is ever intended. Me and My Friends is an exclusive trademark of Chris Evan Films Incorporated and may not be used without the express written consent of Chris Evan Films Incorporated. All rights reserved. Me and My Friends is a Chris Evan Films production, copyright 2022. All rights reserved.